Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. It is 6 a.m. Welcome to Soap, Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And in addition to saying good morning, I want to say Kalimera, which is Greek for good morning, because we are headed to Greece this morning and with an exciting and interesting and empowering word from Paul. So before we jump into 2 Thessalonians 2, let's open up in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Oh, dear Lord, we want to say good morning, Kalimera. And it is a good morning because of you, Lord. You are good. And we just thank you and praise you for your goodness. We thank you and praise you for the goodness of your word, which is so powerful, so beautiful, so enlightening. And we just ask today, Lord, that as your word is read, that we would not just listen to it, but that you would turn it into application, into action, that you would give each one of us a rhema. Oh, dear Lord, I pray that you would speak through me, through my weaknesses, as I am not perfect. I don't even understand all of it, but you do. So would you bring clarity? Would you bring application? And would you bring a shift in your kingdom because of the mighty power of your word? We love you, Lord, and we pray this expectantly in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So once again, we are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I am reading from the NIV, the New International Version. And the Word of God says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshiped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will breathe, excuse me, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to be this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, welcome to the newly established Church of Thessalonica or Thessalonica. Both pronunciations are correct depending on where you are in the world. And the message for this Church of Greece during Paul's time is the same today, no matter where you are in the world. We just finished soaping in 1 Thessalonians, which many believe is the most is most likely the earliest letter we have from Paul. And you can read in the book of Acts, chapter 17, to get the backstory. And by the way, a connect group that I am signing up for, How to Get More Out of the Bible, has been studying the book of Acts, and it has been so rich and empowering. It's soap on steroids as we, as a group, as a community, observe scripture, apply it to our lives, and bathe it in prayer. Don't forget, connect group signups are occurring right now, and you need to sign up for one to be in community, to encourage each other, to help each other understand some of these confusing times and messages from the Lord. And as we dive deeper into this chapter, we will realize our need for truth and community. And if you've already signed up for one or you're leaving one, I would encourage you to put what group you're leading or signing up for in the chat so you can encourage others to sign up and so that they can see the wide variety of connect groups that we have at Fusion Church that the Lord will use to bring truth, to bring community. And as Pastor Brennan says, get out of rows and into circles. So enough of that plug, but I truly believe in the power of connect groups. So I want to encourage everyone to participate in one. Anyway, one of my favorite resources, the Bible Project, explains. Paul and his co-worker Silas went to the ancient Greek city of Thessaloniki or Thessalonica during Paul's second missionary journey. After just 1 month of sharing the gospel, a large number of both Jewish and Greek people gave their allegiance to Jesus and formed the first church community there. But this proclamation that Jesus was the risen Lord led to quite a bit of opposition. The Christians in Thessaloniki were accused of defying Caesar, the Roman emperor, by saying that there's another king and his name is Jesus. And that's in Acts 17:7. The persecution became so intense that Paul and Silas were forced to flee from the city, which was a double painful tragedy for them as they loved the people there and the church community that was forming. Paul's first letter to the people who he missed so much was to celebrate with them their faithfulness despite the persecution and to challenge them to keep growing. So why this second letter to the church? Shortly after writing 1 Thessalonians, his letter, Paul received another report about the Christians in the city of Thessalonica. The challenges he had addressed in his first letter had gotten much worse with the persecutions intensifying, and the Thessalonian Christians were confused and scared about the return of Jesus. In his second letter, we see Paul offering hope in the midst of continued persecution in chapter 1, which was yesterday, and in chapter 2, today's reading, Paul offers clarity about the coming day of the Lord, also known as the tribulation period. The Thessalonians were worried that because of the intense persecution that they were in the midst of the day of the Lord or the tribulation period and had potentially missed the rapture, and or some were anxiously awaiting judgment on those who were persecuting them. In verse 2 and 3, Paul is encouraging them and saying, don't worry about what false prophets are saying. Don't worry about all of this confusion, because as our Bible says, God is not a God of confusion. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, it says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. Paul is saying here, seek truth. Don't become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teachings allegedly, remember they were not Paul's words, allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter. Remember, during this time, letters were used a lot to preach things. And what were they saying? Asserting that the day of the Lord had already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way. This is still a problem in 2025. We're almost 2,000 years later from this writing. And when I Googled how many failed predictions for the raptured end times have there been, the answer I received was, there have been hundreds of failed predictions for the rapture and end times, with historical records showing numerous failed dates from the first century AD to the present day, including well-known figures like William Miller, Harold Camping, and Edgar Wisenot, as well as various groups like Jehovah's Witnesses and other religious sects. The most recently famous one was when Harold Camping made multiple failed predictions, most notably a failed rapture date of May 21st, 2011, which he then later revised to October 21st, 2011, when it didn't happen. I still remember, that was 14 years ago, I still remember billboards during that time declaring those dates, and how when it did not occur, how everyone labeled Camping a cult leader and described his followers as fools. But many people took that to be truth. So why do we entertain such predictions, especially when God's word is clear? In Mark 13, 32 to 33, Jesus says about his own return, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Let's repeat that commandment, those words of Jesus. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Jesus doesn't even know. So who are we to even think we can know? We have been in the final days since Jesus was born. But with that being said, Paul has given us a few signs of the end times. However, his emphasis is the same as Jesus in Mark 13, which is, quote, the need for each person to prepare for Christ's return by living rightly day by day. If we are ready, we won't have to be concerned about the preceding event or the timing of Christ's return. God controls all events, end quote. And that was from my Life Application Bibles. Let me repeat that again. God controls all events. Why do we want to control it? Why do we want to know? Because if you're like me, you're a control freak. I confess there are many times I want to be in control. I want to be in the know. But allow today's reading to increase our trust in the Lord and to seek Him and allow Him to have control. So the signs that Paul does give us ensure the Thessalonians that they were not in the day that the Lord had come and that the rapture had not occurred because certain events had not taken place. First, the rebellion or falling away, also known as apostasy, the entire abandonment of Christianity had not occurred. Second, the man of lawlessness hadn't been revealed, the man doomed to destruction and judgment. Many refer to him as the Antichrist. The believer's commentary describes him as the one who is opposed to Christ and who sets himself up in the place of Christ. The commentary continues, Daniel 9:27 and Matthew 24:15 show that this blasphemous action of the Antichrist takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. Those who refuse to worship him will be persecuted and many will be martyred. But I love verse 5 in 2 Thessalonians 2, as Paul sounds like a parent reminding his children of what he or she has said to their kids. Don't you remember when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? I know I have said in several soaps that we are a forgetful people. That's why we need to be intentional to remain in God's word and community so that we can remind each other and seek God's word together so that we don't fall for the lies of our times and we place our hope in God's plan and control and not our own. Paul continues to explain that this evil power or Antichrist is being held back until the Lord decides to overthrow him. An interesting note in my life application states, who holds back this lawless one? We do not know for certain, but three possibilities have been suggested. Number one, government and law, which help to curb evil. Number two, the ministry and activity of the church and the effects of the gospel. Or number three, which is my favorite, the Holy Spirit. The Bible is not clear on who this restrainer is, only that he will not restrain forever. But we should not fear this time when the restraint is removed, as God is far stronger than the man of lawlessness, and God will save his people. My favorite verse in this chapter is verse 8 and the description of how not only will the Lord reveal the lawless one, but will overthrow him with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Can't you just see the amazing arrival of the Lord and just how he breathes on this situation? Breath symbolizes divine intervention, such as God breathing life into Adam or the bestowal of the Holy Spirit. For me, that is so beautiful and so powerful. So my visual aid today, believe it or not, is my rescue inhaler. When I have an allergic reaction and I can't breathe, my inhaler breathes into the situation, restores my calm, and allows me to breathe with peace. I have a very strange, for those who know me, I have a very strange allergy. I'm allergic to chicken, and I need to stay away from it because if I don't, I can't breathe. I have to use an EpiPen. I have to use my rescue inhaler. And as I was praying, Lord, what visual aid could I use and how could I apply this to my own life? I felt the Lord saying, stay away from being chicken regarding the end times, like the Thessalonians were. They were confused. They were afraid. They had lost their focus. And we need to put our hope in God's rescue plan for each of us to allow Him to breathe truth into each of our individual situations, each of our own areas of where we're feel like we're being persecuted. Let me read verse 8 again. The Lord Jesus Christ will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the splendor of his coming. These words can turn fear into awe. And I think that's what Paul was trying to do with the people of the Thessalonian church. And so, but it's for today too. We need to ask ourselves, where is our focus? Where is our hope? Where are we fearful? If our hope and focus is in the Lord, we have nothing to be afraid of. Also, if our focus and hope are in the Lord, then we can discern and identify the counterfeit miracles, the signs and lying wonders of the lawless one under the leadership of Satan, and we won't be deceived. Remember, Satan is the father of lies, but our Savior is the father of truth. Paul doesn't mince his words when he writes in verse 10. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Are we a lover of truth? I hope so. I'm asking the Lord to foster in us a supernatural desire and love for truth so that we are seeking Him, and that all of the confusion, conspiracies, the lies that are swarming around, and our desire is not to know, is that true or not? But our desire is to know the source of truth, to know Jesus. So, who is your rescue inhaler? And who is breathing life into you? I was reading in one of my favorite Psalms, 63 this week, and a note in my Bible introducing the Psalm read, placing all hope in God. Exclamation point. Knowing that God is in control allows us to wait patiently for Him to rescue us. True relief doesn't come when the problems of this world are resolved because more problems are on their way, aka persecution. And believe it or not, our problems are so light in comparison to the persecution that is to come and the persecution that many Christians are experiencing overseas. The note continues, true relief comes from an enduring hope in God's ultimate salvation. Only then will all trials be resolved. Jesus is our rescue inhaler. Jesus is our rescue plan. Several Easters ago, when Fusion was at the Summers Point campus, I'll never forget that Pastor Brendan preached with a visual aid of a stretcher on the stage. And he shared how Easter was our rescue plan and Jesus was the source of our rescue. And the song Rescue by Lauren Daigle was sung during that service, which included these lyrics. You are not hidden. There's never been a moment you were forgotten. You are not hopeless. Though you have been broken, your innocence stolen, I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you in the middle of the darkest night. It's true. I will rescue you. The Thessalonians were under intense persecution. They were scared. They were worried. They missed the boat, believing lies, and they needed to be rescued. And how beautiful that the Lord sent a love letter via Paul to rescue them from the lies they were believing, to encourage them, to remind them that the Lord saw them and wanted to breathe life into them. Paul sums up this encouragement in verses 13 to 15. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel so that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. And that message to stand firm is so applicable to us today. Jesus is telling us, the Holy Spirit is telling us, the Father is telling us today, stand firm in the midst of these confusing times and in the midst of all of these lies that are swarming around in our culture these days. And then what's so beautiful, Paul doesn't just give this encouraging word. He ends this section of his letter with a very beautiful prayer. In verses 16 and 17, which we can still pray today, Paul prays, "May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." I was somewhat nervous about sharing this soap because I haven't really studied the end times and don't know much about all of the different teachings on the rapture, the tribulation period, the pre-trib, post-trib, and the second coming of Christ, etc., etc. But for me, God revealed this chapter isn't so much about the end times. It's about our current time and who we are going to put our trust and hope in. So that prayer of may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. Encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good word and deed that you experience today. I believe God is telling us today, I want to breathe through you. I want the breath of heaven to fill you up, the Holy Spirit to just allow the fruit to be born in you to encourage not only you, but to encourage others to be a source of truth for not only you, but to be a source of truth to others. Remember, truth has a name, and it's the name of Jesus. Our world right now is desperate for truth. Who are you going to be the Bible to today? Who are you going to be Jesus to today? I can't encourage you all enough to join a connect group so that you can be encouraged with truth and hope and community, the way that God designed his church to operate. Remember that during the times of the Thessalonian church, the people met in homes. They didn't have a church building. They met in homes. They were always out of rows and into circles. So we need that original example of the church to partner with our beautiful church fusion. And speaking of that, we could easily say our church is under persecution with the repairs. So we need to lift up Pastor Brendan and the entire staff as they pivot and manage this transition with the church building. So I wanted to just end with this final quote from the Bible Project before we say a word and close out in prayer. And it says, "The Bible Project shares that the big idea of 2 Thessalonians 2 as Jesus's promise to return and bring final justice creates hope and inspires faithfulness and devotion to Jesus. Whether facing persecution or not, what a person hopes for will shape what that person lives for." Paul was encouraging the Thessalonian church, and he's encouraging us today to live for Jesus. Let me repeat that final encouraging line. What a person hopes for will shape what that person lives for. So today, as we live out this day, let us put our hope in Jesus Christ. Let us allow the Lord to have control. Let us die to ourselves and to partner with his plan of rescue, knowing that our eternal hope is secure in heaven one day. So I hope this word has encouraged you as it has encouraged me, because like I said, I was a little bit nervous about this chapter. And but then God just breathed his confidence, breathed his message, and actually was a living example of how the Thessalonians might have been feeling confused and, oh no, when are the final times? I don't understand this, what's going on? But then God just breathed his main message over them and said, "I am your source of hope." So let's end in a word of prayer. Ooh, oh Lord, we just come to you in praise and thanksgiving that once again, we can't repeat it enough. We have to be reminded that you are our hope, our rescue plan, our supernatural breath that gives us life, direction, discernment, and most importantly, truth. Lord, I thank you for each person participating today in SOAP and who will listen to it later on. May you draw them close. May you anoint them with truth. May you calm their fears with your promise of eternal life in you, no matter what's going on, no matter what stage our culture is in. Lord, I thank you not only for each person on this call, but all of our church family, and especially our leaders, Pastor Brendan, and all the pastors and staff. Lord, would you just breathe hope and encouragement and wisdom into them as they manage this hit to our church, Lord? Would you provide in every way that is necessary? Would you take control over this entire situation and breathe your life into it? And may people respond because of it. Lord, we continue to lift up the people who, all the people were who were involved in that accident, from those in the car, those that witnessed the accident, to all the first responders, to everyone that was at the Fusion building that day. And we ask that you would bring beautiful fruit from it and that you would redeem that situation for your glory and our betterment. Lord, we thank you again for this amazing word and what you're going to do with it. And we're so blessed to pray all of this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for journeying with me in 2 Thessalonians 2. Have a blessed day, and may the Lord breathe into you today. Amen.